We're going to continue our series this morning, The Great Reset. This is the last week. We're going to wrap it up, okay? We're going to do a couple things this morning, which I'll explain in just a minute. But here's my opening question to get you guys thinking. What is the riskiest thing you've ever done? Okay, do we have any risk takers? Let me just ask it first. Who is a risk taker by nature? Okay, awesome. Who are not risk takers? I was going to say chickens, but some of you have not given in the offering yet. So I want to be nice. Okay, I would probably be considered a risk taker by nature if I was a little bit younger. All of the S games would have been right up my alley, whether I could have done them or not. But I'm like, why was I not younger? I see this stuff come out. All right, did some skydiving in college, and so that was my dream, to be the only youth pastor in town that skydived into the halftime of the local football game. I never made it that far, but I'm still alive, okay? So some of you can relate to that. And when you're getting ready to do something risky, whether it's something physically risky, okay, maybe it's financially risky, okay, should I invest in Bitcoin? Yes, but you should have sold already, probably, okay? Tesla or Walmart years ago, some of you are still kicking yourself. You're old enough to go, why did I not do that? Right? So whether it's a physical risk, and maybe it's a financial risk, some of you, maybe it's a relational risk, or moving your family across the country. Whatever it is, how do you guys evaluate whether you're going to take that risk or not? Not everybody at once. Yeah, risk reward. I love that. Okay, you do a pros and cons list. How many's ever sat down with your husband or wife, you've done a pros or cons? Okay, thank you for responding who's never been married. Pastor's kids. We sit down and we look at it and we try to make an educated guess, right? Of is this going to work out? What's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? Okay, we evaluate it, right? So this morning as we wrap up this message series, we're going to share some dreams, some goals for 2020. But we're going to be talking about people during this series of Great Reset, of people that reset our expectations, all right? Because sometimes I don't believe our expectations are where they need to be, especially as it pertains the Lord, church, okay? So why are expectations important? I've hit on this a few times in passing. Why are expectations important? Think about the risk. Okay, go ahead.
You know where you're going to go, you need to have an endpoint.
Okay. All right, God bless you, sister. What?
Motivation,
yeah. Right? If you have a high expectation, as we've talked about, whether it's finances or anything else, I had a high expectation not to die when I skydived. Okay, I looked at the odds. They were actually relatively low, more than what people think. Like, okay, cool, I'm down with that. I'll do that. Okay? I heard a lot of screaming, heard a lot of language, not for myself as people left the airplane, but I was confident in my decision, so that was not me. Right? We evaluate it, we look at it, but our expectation, oftentimes, it informs our actions, it informs our commitments, it informs our priorities, right? If you're looking at a financial investment and you don't expect it to pay off, you're probably not going to invest, right? If you're thinking about moving somewhere else, you're like, that is going to go horribly wrong for my family, let's do it, all right? That's not what you do, okay? And so, this morning, we're going to continue to talk about the children of Israel in just a little bit. We're going to get there, but we're going to look at our dreams and goals for 2022 under this sort of this banner of resetting our expectations. Because I want us to reset what we believe and expect the Lord to do in our personal lives, in our families, and in this church. And so that leads us to this theme for 2022. Okay, I know we're already in February, right? It is what it is. But our theme for 2022 is more than, okay? More than. This is the verse that kind of inspired me, because I almost didn't come up with a theme this year, because I don't want to just arbitrarily come up with something just to throw it on a banner, which is delayed in shipping, by the way, so no big reveal this morning. It'll be here at some point, hopefully before the year's over. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And so this is the verse that's going to be our theme verse this year, okay? Paul's writing to this church at Ephesus, and he's speaking about giving glory to God. It acknowledges that through Jesus, God can do more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever ask, okay? And the purpose of him doing that is for him to receive glory through the church and through the individuals and to make an impact for future generations. So that's our prayer this year. That is our overarching theme. That is our overarching prayer, okay? And so I would invite you to be praying with us about that. Even if you don't come on Sunday nights, we're going to pray for that every time we gather monthly for prayer. But be praying that for this church, okay? And what begins, it's going to begin in just a few of you. And I've seen a shift even the last few months. God is bringing not just life into this church, but enthusiasm, okay? And if you're new, you have no idea, and that's fine. But God is doing something, and we need to continue to move with Him, but raise our level of expectations, because I just don't want to do church as usual, all right? And I don't have time for that. I don't want to do that. But I want to do church that is impactful, okay? And so let's be praying that God will do more than what we could ever imagine or ask. And so some of these, before I tell you what these are, I struggled a little bit, and Amy can attest to this. When you're setting goals and dreams, you want stuff that you can measure, okay? Like, I want 27 and a half people to be baptized, okay? That's easy to measure. Well, we're not going to make that, okay? Right? But these are a little more, I don't want to say generic, but they're a little more big picture, but this is really what the Lord laid in my heart. And I even told the board to be praying for me last month, because I'm just not going to throw something on a banner just to have something catchy or something that's easily measurable. So, listen, if you're really like, Mark, this is for you, okay? Like, if you're really like, okay, that's not a real goal if we can't measure it, okay? Because I've heard that before at other places, and there is a truth to that. I want you to understand, this is coming from my heart, where I feel like the Lord wants to meet us, and it speaks more to our culture and what the Lord is doing than something that we can go, hey, there were 17 people that, you know, came to Pizza Ranch and had the macaroni and cheese pizza, okay? I mean, that's measurable, but there's just not a lot of those. So, but I wanted to explain that, okay? These are big picture items. The first thing I want to do, this is, we've got them grouped by some themes. We need to begin to expect the impossible, okay? As we come to church, as we are walking with the Lord through the week, we need to reset our expectations and begin to expect the impossible. Because if you expect the same old thing, you're probably going to get it. Yeah. That makes sense? Our expectations, they inform our attitudes, they inform our actions, they inform our priorities. If you expect church to be run-of-the-mill and nothing to happen, you're not going to have a problem missing church and probably missing a lot. And I'm not trying to hammer on anybody, okay? Everybody has reasons they miss. That happens. That's fine. You don't sin when you miss church, so don't think I'm saying something I'm not. But if you look at Sunday as, man, I don't know what the Lord's going to do today. I don't know what the Lord wants to do through me today to serve somebody else. If you raise your level of expectation and expect that God could do anything, it is going to impact your commitment to the Lord and to the church. And really, let's look at this. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And Jesus said here, he looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Now, this is a story about the rich entering heaven. The disciples had a question. But the last part of that sentence, it stands on its own. It's a definitive statement that Jesus makes. It is not dictated by the situation, okay? So I'm not pulling this out of context for those of you that are reviewing this message. This statement stands on its own. It's a statement Jesus makes that is part of this story, but it is an independent statement. He says, with God, all things are possible. Okay? And we see that all the way through Scripture. We don't necessarily need this verse to know that, but Jesus said, listen, you may think this is an impossible situation talking to his disciples, but he says, with God, all things are possible. Okay? So here's the things that we're going to be praying for. Okay? I'm going to look at these. My dream is that we consistently pursue spiritual renewal, okay? And I get that that's vague, but that means that people are being born again, that means people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that means people are being set free from drugs, that means the worst of sinners in Vermilion can come in here and they can change their life by giving it to Jesus Christ. We need to begin to expect that that happens instead of looking at, man, they're impossible, right? So that needs to be a matter of prayer, that we pursue spiritual renewal. We pursue that in prayer. We pursue that in worship. Okay? Do want to remind you, our pre-service prayer started this morning, first things first, from 9:30 to 9:45. Short amount of time, but I believe it will have great impact upon those that are serving, upon this service, just as we focus in and commit ourselves to the Lord. Number two, tenaciously pray for the miraculous. Some of you have been praying for miraculous to happen because there are people in your family, in your circle of friends that aren't saved. You need to keep praying for them. It may look impossible, okay? But if you believe that it's not impossible for the Lord, keep praying for that, all right? That means if somebody's sick in here, maybe they're diagnosed with a terminal disease. Listen, we have a God that heals, and it's not impossible for him to heal. How many have known or seen God heal somebody? I have multiple times. You may have grown up in a faith tradition where that didn't happen. You didn't have that expectation. But I'm telling you here, we believe God still heals. We believe there's plenty of evidence for that. And many of us have seen that, okay? So we need to pray for that in all parts of our walk with Him, okay? We have people in this church, people you know, that have an addiction they cannot kick. Regardless of the type of addiction, we need to believe that God can set them free from that. Okay? Enthusiastically worship. Hey, we're getting there. We might already be there. I'm telling you, just even in, I don't know, 3-4 months, there's been a shift in that. Okay? But we'll say, Jason, why is that important? All right? We don't fake it. I don't like fake enthusiasm. Okay? But if we really believe that God is here, that He can do anything, that He wants to meet us here, that He wants to use, it'll inform our actions, okay? Worship is a very evangelistic thing. Worship is not about us feeling the warm fuzzies or feeling good about ourselves. Worship is about getting our eyes off ourselves, getting our eyes upon the Lord. And what happens when we do that corporately, okay? There's a shift happens in the atmosphere, okay? But what it does, I've seen as many people saved after a great worship service because God is here, and it's hard to deny it, and you simply invite people to respond to the Lord. And I've seen people respond to the Lord as much during a powerful time of worship than at the end of a message, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is a better evangelist than I could ever be. And I believe the Lord wants to use me, and that He will, and that He does, hopefully. You know, that's my prayer. But the Holy Spirit speaking to you personally can do more in a second than I can trying to persuade you through a message. And the Lord does use preaching. He does use teaching. It's not that He doesn't use it, okay? But as we pursue Him wholeheartedly, it'll not just change things for you. It'll change things for those around you. And so we expect the impossible, okay? We expect God to respond, all right? It'll dramatically transform us as followers of Jesus and as a church, all right? So let's reset our expectations, church. Let's expect the impossible. All right? Second thing, this is something I want you guys to pray with me about. We need to engage our community. Acts 1:8 says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, we believe that we are Spirit-empowered people. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night. But God doesn't give us His Spirit, He doesn't do it just to save us, not to just redeem us, give us new life. He gives us His Spirit for us to do something for Him and with Him. He didn't call us just to sit and attend church. He called us to do something with what He gave us, all right? If we have new life in Christ, He wants to use us to help others receive new life in Christ, all right? So when all of you go knock on doors this afternoon, sorry, that's so awesome. You guys didn't even know if I was making a joke then. I love it. But whatever it is, God will show you that. God will open the door, okay? God will help you be that witness that He wants you to be. That could just be at your work. Others say, you know what? There's something different. There's something different about Stephen. There's something different about Nick, okay? He could open a door for you to have an opportunity to speak into the lives of those that are around you. So coworkers, neighbors, other students. Okay, God will direct you and God will guide you, but let your eyes be open to those around you that need Him and opportunities to speak life to somebody, okay? So God has called us to do something. And so this is about our Jerusalem, right? You saw our mission. We are doing what we can for our Judea, our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, okay? By sending missions money every month, all right? We want to send more. We know as we grow, God will enable us to be able to be a church that does more and more for believers and ministers and missions around the world. Okay, so we need to create a culture of invitation. What does that mean? It means we need to invite people, not just to church, but into our lives. And I need you to hear me when I say this, because I said this several years ago and somebody misunderstood what I said. Some people in your life need to be invited into your life before they're invited into this church. Because if they did not grow up in church, they might come, and if they come on their own, they might have a question about something. But if there's nobody in their life, they will probably walk out of that door and never ask that question to anybody. Okay? What I'm not saying is, I'm not saying don't invite anybody to church. You understand what I mean? Hey, Pastor, you told us not to invite people to church. I got that about 8 years ago. I never said it. So I want to make sure we're clear. Okay? Some people are ready to come to church with a friend. They just need to be invited. Okay? But we need to invite people into our lives, and some people in your world need to sit across from you at a coffee shop or your dinner table before you invite them on a Sunday morning, okay? Maybe they need to be invited to Pizza Ranch first, okay? Can I tell you guys something? It's not about the pizza. That's why Nick comes anyway, right? It's about us being together as a church. This kind of leads to my second one. We need to increase our local awareness guys, we're right as you come into town, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. I think I know who told me this, but somebody we've had a lot of students visit lately. Somebody said, "Well, I thought that was a house." You pass this as you come into town. We thought it was a house. All right? Because I move here, and even in church, when they say, location, 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 like real estate, okay? Weirdly enough, our last church, we had a very convenient location, but it was hard to find, and that's hard to explain unless you see it, okay? And it worked against us. But guys, we have to increase our local awareness, all right? And we're working on some practical things, okay? Hopefully that'll happen. But listen, look at this. Look, I'm sporting. I keep thinking, every time we're at Pizza Ranch, we all should have shirts on. Because do you know how many families we see on Tuesday night? Many are in church, that's okay. But how many families that we see on Tuesday night, and again, church, you need to, and I know it costs money, I can't do anything about that, but I need some of you to start looking at this as an outreach opportunity. What would happen, especially on our big nights? You know, every time I reserve these, like, how many will you have? Well, we'll have 6 or we'll have 30. I don't have any idea, you know. And usually it's in the middle, but we've had a few where we've had nearly 30 people there. Imagine if everybody, almost everybody, was wearing a Cornerstone shirt. It would look like there's 100, you know what I mean? How many times you go to the buffet, it would look like there's 100 Cornerstone people. It's like Gideon and the jars and the candles and the trumpets, all right? Go look that up, Judges chapter 6, right? Read his story. People are like, "What? Wait a second," all right? This church has been around a while, but there are new things happening here and not everybody knows it, okay? And I'm not saying they need to come see me. That's not what I'm saying. But there's something happening here and it's time for us to start letting people know that, hey, there's something happening at Cornerstone, and it's good. Because this is a small town, and not everybody knows that, all right? I'm working on the sign situation, all right? I can't give shirts away because there's a big enough bill attached to those shirts, but encourage you guys, buy some shirts, wear them, especially if you're at a community event or around town, all right? So it's not just about having some cool, somebody told me they don't call it swag anymore, some cool merch, is that right? Yeah. All right. So, but we do need to increase our local awareness. And the easiest way to do that is let's just plaster this town in Cornerstone shirts as you guys are walking around. Mobile advertising, right? And this applies to some other things, but we need to sort of look for ways to do this, all right? And then we need to identify some ministry and outreach opportunities here locally, all right? Maybe that'll mean we have a certain niche. Maybe it doesn't mean a niche, but we need to identify some other things to get us out in the community, to minister to needs of this community. And so be praying with us about that, because that's one I don't really have a clue on, to be honest with you. Some of these I have an idea. That doesn't mean they're going to happen or it's even the right idea. But that one, I just be praying with us about that, okay? Because we need to expect the Lord wants us to be a church of influence in this community. All right? I've got a dream for this church to be a church of influence. I don't know. You say, well, what would that mean for Sunday attendance? I don't know that means more than this, but I don't have a dream of where that needs to be, okay? But as we continue to grow, we need to find our niche in this community. Don't want to do stuff just to do stuff, but we need to meet needs and have the opportunity to share Jesus with others. So let's engage those around us, okay? Like we already talked about. Let's reset our expectations that we're not just going to be a little church on the corner of town that just wants to survive and show up for Sunday services. We need to be a church that is growing, that is engaging this community and making a difference, okay? I feel like I need to say that again because I'm not sure you guys are with me on that, all right? The last thing, okay? And this is, there's overlap on a lot of these, but we need to expand our vision. Okay? Now, I believe this is the first time I pulled out the King James since I've been here. Possibly ever. All right? Because people just don't like to talk like this anymore. Proverbs 29:18. Some of you that's been in church, this is going to be a familiar verse. And I even still think of this version when I think of this verse, okay? It says, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's look at a couple other versions real quick, okay? I want you guys to see this. We've got the ESV and the NIV. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And so I've heard a lot of goofy messages on the King James Version, I'm going to be honest with you, because they're missing the point of what really was being said. And we read them together, we kind of get a full picture. When we talk about vision, it is speaking figuratively, right? We're not. This is not 2020. This is not nearsightedness, farsightedness, okay? It's speaking about it figuratively, all right? Talking about revelation, talking about vision, talking about something that is being revealed to a people, okay? When we talk about that, we talk about direction. And even it talks about the law in the ESV. God's instructions, God's commands, they are a prophetic vision for our lives, all right? It gives us direction. And so we want to expand our vision here locally, which means we need to ask God to guide us into what he wants us to do. All right, because we could do a lot of stuff just to do it, and it might be kind of exciting, and we might have some success, but we want God to do what he wants to do through us, okay? But it's going to take us expanding our vision and saying, God, you want, and again, like there's some overlap here. We've got to understand that God wants to do more than what a church of our size in the natural could do. Okay, because we're not going to stay a church of our size, all right? We're moving, we're growing, and we're going to be going, okay? Last year's theme was forward, and it's what we're doing. I want to throw out in just a second some specific things, because vision, God reveals himself and his plans in a very general way through his word, okay? That is our basis for everything, but I do believe there is a specific vision or revelation that God wants to give this church for future impact for this community, okay? And so, here's the first thing that I want us to look at here, okay? And I've just sort of named this something to name it. I'm calling it the 2030 plan, all right? So Jason, why did you name that? Did God give you that to you in prayer? I'm not really sure, I'm gonna be honest with you, okay? If I feel like God specifically says something to me, I'm gonna tell you, okay? Part of this is I like round numbers. Okay, part of this is I'm looking at our lives here in my age going, okay, Lord, what is your end game? You know, and he's probably not going to tell me exactly. Listen, I don't know how long the Lord has us here. Listen, I hate moving. I hope it's a long time. But by 2030, I want to see some things in place or things happening. So if the Lord transitioned me as I get older or whatever it may be, okay, if parents get older and Lord calls us home to heaven or Missouri, I don't know. I say that's not a threat. Some of you might feel like, ooh, that's a promise. But okay, this is like Reasoner Endgame. If it's a movie, like Reasoner Endgame, okay? Even if we're still here forever, we're South Dakotans forever, I'm looking at this going, okay, Lord, we will have been there a long time. What do you want to do through this church? How can we ensure viability for this church for the future? And so I'm going to admit, as I explain a little bit what I'm thinking about this, it's a whole lot of ideas and what ifs, and there is not a God-given, this is what I need you to do specifically, so I'm going to be honest about that. But what I'm asking you to do is pray with me and the board about this, okay? Because it will take the Lord helping us see this through, okay? The 2030 plan, you got the picture, Jacob, of our land, okay? I want you guys to think about this, and so this is just kind of to expand your vision a little bit. All right. We own everything in light tan around our church and even that yellow. And a lot of old timers know this. I don't mean that you're old. I just meant you've been here for a while. The rest of you don't know it. Okay. At one point, there were conversations about selling those lots behind the homes. At one point, I even talked to the board about that. Like, hey, should we? Well, that kind of was tried. Not all the neighbors were on board. I know a couple of them were ready to. Okay. Just sort of, you know, normal conversations. If you're a member, we know we can't do any of that without you voting. It's just talking, okay? The black marks, our roads, there's already right-of-ways for roads to go in there at some point, and at some point, they are going to go in. The problem is, we are responsible for the curbside improvements when those roads go in, whether we want it to happen or not. Okay? That's thousands of dollars, right? Those apartments are going to keep coming across those fields, and they're going to reach us, right? And this is not scary. I'm just sharing with you guys, okay? And so I've been thinking about that for a while, going, knowing that it's not imminent, going like, Lord, we can't afford that. Right? We broke even in January. That may be the first month we've broken even since I've been here. Right? And the Lord is taking care of us. Our savings is the same as when I came. So this is not bad news, I'm telling you. And that's why you go to an annual business meeting. You get to talk about all that stuff. So it's all good. But I'm looking at that going, we can't afford that. What in the world are we going to do? So here's some very general things I want you to pray with us about. Several months ago, God really helped me. I need to change my perspective. I'm preaching to me. From looking at this as a potential liability to the Lord, how can we use that for your kingdom? Okay? How can we use that for your kingdom? And so I've had a few conversations with the city, all right? Just as I want to know what we could even do, like what is possible, those types of conversations. All right? The yellow is multifamily zoning. There's not much of that left in the city limits, all right? So great possibilities there. I would love to see some sort of multifamily housing that we are getting the money from. Okay, that's an idea. That may be a horrible idea. It may not happen. These are some what ifs. Everything else around us is zoned general business. City said you can pretty much do whatever you want to there. It's general business. So what I'm saying is there are huge possibilities for us to do that. I would love to see income-producing property. I would love to see staff housing where we could staff interns. We could staff part-time people. Because even if this remains a smaller church, maybe we can't pay them a salary that could take care of a family. But if we said we can pay you this, plus you can live for free, that changes the equation. Right? I've talked to Trinity I talked to a professor, said, am I crazy if we could have some sort of center for rural ministry training or internship or something? And again, these are very general, I know. He said, you're not crazy. Now, I have zero idea how any of this can happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we need to look at what we have and go, God, what can you do with us through us? Okay? Any or none of that may happen, but I believe instead of looking at what we have, I believe God really directed the people that bought this land, because I look at every other church in town and they are landlocked outside of just maybe faith, right? Landlocked, nowhere to go, right? And so God, I believe God directed those who bought this years ago. I believe there's great potential for what we have. No idea how to make it happen, okay? But you know what I've seen already these last 2 years? I've seen so much money come from outside of this church and even sometimes from sources I didn't know it was going to come from. Right? Our roof, thousands of dollars. Some of the stuff, equipment that we've had, improvements that we've done. I knew some of that would happen, but honestly, it's been about 3 times more than what I thought would happen or could happen. All right? God has already shown us, listen, I've given you favor. I'm going to do stuff that you can't imagine. So whatever it looks like, right? I believe God can do something other than us just selling it outright and getting out of it. Because even if we did, that's not going to fund future ministry. Okay? It'd be a nice little bonus, but it's not going to fund future ministry. So that's really my heart. We need to look at what we have and believe that God can do something with it that maybe we never would have thought of. Okay? And so I want you to pray with me about that. Okay? And for the board, right? So next thing I want to look at underneath this heading, all right? I want to embrace a kingdom mindset. And what do I mean about that? I want us to be a sending church. I want us to be a church that blesses other churches in town. I drove around, I don't do it every Sunday. I don't want to oversell it. But some Sunday mornings I drive on early. I pray for the other churches, at least the pastors that I know, especially the ones I know that are preaching the gospel, that are upholding biblical truth. Drive around town. You know, it's a big town. It takes me like 15 minutes to get all the churches. Okay. But I want us to be, and you guys bless Beacon Church, and I appreciate that. It'd be easy for me to go, hey, we got a small church. I don't want our people to know that there's a church 15 minutes down the road that's opening, all right? But that's not a kingdom mindset. Like, hey, let's bring you in. Let's bless you, right? If God calls somebody down there, well, honestly, I hope it doesn't happen. But if he does, that's on the Lord to replace you. And I believe he will. Okay, Lord is already replacing people that have left. So let's embrace a kingdom mindset. That means that we do stuff not just for our own good, but for others. Okay, applies to missions, applies to our time. How can we use what we have to bless others for the kingdom? And then pray for supernatural favor, okay? Because we will need that. Whether that's approval from the city to do certain things, whatever that might be. Whether that's God sending more resources from outside the church in surprising ways. God can do that. Because if it's His plan, if He gives us His plan, He can do that. He will do that. Maybe He blesses you supernaturally and you're able to help at a certain point. Listen, I don't have a fundraising campaign. Okay, we did that last year at the roof. There's no big surprise at the end. No second offering. Okay? But God, expand our vision so we can see what could happen in Vermilion. But I want it to be God-directed. Because listen, I'm an idea person, but that doesn't mean all ideas are God ideas. I want it to be God-directed. Right? Because I can't tell you how many ideas I've already had just for this town or this church, and I've already like, yeah, that was dumb, and move on. You know, okay? And most of them I've never shared with you guys. All right? Although I still think an indoor mini golf place would be good. So if somebody wants to talk to me about that. We live in a winter climate, low overhead, just needs to be a metal building, concrete floor, probably one person working. Okay, sorry. In case there's any angel investors watching online or listening later, just let me know, okay? So pray with us for wisdom. Pray with us about this, okay? And because with God's help, whatever He asks us to do, we can pull off, okay? Whatever He asks us to do, we can pull off. And so, I'm going to wrap up in a minute. We've got another song to sing. We've got communion. This is the first Sunday. But I want us to go back. We've been talking the last few weeks about the children of Israel, ancient Israel. Okay, we followed a little bit of their story, hit some highlights as God delivered them from slavery in Egypt, okay, and how they kept complaining and complaining. You know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Okay, kind of like your kids on a trip. All right, they complained, they rebelled, they grumbled. We see God come through for them, providing them meat and bread and water in very miraculous ways, okay? And so we're going to pick this story up again when they're right on the precipice, right at the edge of this land that God wants to give them, that He's promised to give them. And we're going to look at this story, and we're going to see how that relates to our message this morning. And so Scripture is full of people that saw God do the impossible. Scripture is also full of people that didn't trust God to do the impossible, okay? And so the Israelites find themselves at this place where their choice is to trust God or not. But many times those who have expectations to see what God would do, those that expected God to fulfill His word, oftentimes they were in the minority. So we're going to come here to Numbers. If you got your Bible, Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to summarize a few verses. We're going to read several here at the end. Then worship team's going to come up. We're going to sing a song and close in communion. But I want us to look at this story because this has really been on my heart as we looked at this year in this series. And so at the beginning of Numbers, the Lord says to Moses, send some people out to explore the land. Okay, He says, man, send them out. Right? Send them out. Check it out. Right? If you go to a piece of property, right, you go look at it, check it out. They want to know what's the food situation. Those of you that are familiar with the story, man, they brought back gigantic grapes. Tell us about the cities. Tell about... Stop reading, everybody. It's not up there. I'm summarizing this. This is story time, all right? Come on, story time with Uncle Jason, all right? So if you don't know the story, they were going to check out the land, this land that God had promised them, right? So they send a group over to check it out, to check out the land, right? And so they come back and they say, we went into the land. It is good. They described it as flowing with milk and honey, right? They said, it's good. It's good land. The fields are fertile, right? But what was the problem? They saw some big old cities with big old walls, big old people, right? That's not in the Hebrew, but that's how I said it, right? Big old people, big old walls, big old cities, all right? And so that's what they saw. So I want us to look at the response here in a second, but you know, you would think up to this point after everything they had been through, and again, it's easy when we have the scope of Scripture and we can read it kind of in a linear fashion. We can go, man, they shouldn't be complaining, yet in our lives we often do the same thing, right, as we've talked about. Well, I forgot what God did a week ago for me, so I'm going to complain and get a little bit nervous about Him coming through for me again. But we see them come back, and they begin expressing their level of expectation about God coming through them. Let's look at this, okay? They begin complaining. Numbers 13, verse 30. It said, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Okay? So there's one side, okay? There's in the pro column, right? pros and cons, risk and reward. We can do it. Caleb and Joshua were kind of out on the island by themselves. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We looked the same to them. So here you have, you've got Caleb. We'll learn later, Caleb and Joshua, right, said, yeah, we can do it. It looks a little bit hard, but we can do it, right? Faith is not denial about the circumstances. I've told you that before. Faith is just believing that God is bigger than the circumstances, right? Like, yeah, the land is good. It's got some challenges. We can do it. But everybody else is like, we can't do it. They're too big. Numbers chapter 14. Let's continue. Verse 1, it says, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if we had only died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. So again, they hadn't learned their lesson at any of the other previous stops when they had challenges, right? But a lot of those were food and comfort issues here. Big cities and actual giants. Maybe this was a different ballgame for them. So, man, we can't do it. We should go back to Egypt. We should have, you know, why did God bring us out to kill us? They were assuming God was going to let them down, and they proposed a rebellion to overpower Moses. Verse 6. It says, Joshua and Caleb were among those who had explored the land. They tore their clothes, which was a sign of grieving, okay, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and has explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So in the spite of other people wanting to stir up a rebellion, in spite of the obstacles, Caleb and Joshua displayed great faith and said, listen, we can do it. Let's not be afraid of them. God's come through for us before. He'll come through us again. Come through for us again. So if you were the Lord, how would you have felt? You guys ever think about that? And I've told you before, it's a good thing I'm not God. I just wipe people out all the time, which means I probably wouldn't qualify to be God. There's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't, but, right? But how do you think he felt? In fact, he and Moses had a conversation about him wiping them out and starting over. Seriously, said, Moses, I'm just, like, dude, I'm going to wipe them out, and we're going to start over again. But Moses interceded on their behalf. Moses went to their defense. And so God relented, right? He was upset. Don't blame him. After all he had done, how ungrateful the people acted, but Moses pleaded for their lives. And look at verse 20. I want us to see God's response because it's important. It says, the Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you ask. But nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. And we know from other scripture, Joshua is included in that as well. Church, I want us to look at this. Go back to the other slide, the one before that. I want us to think about this, because often we only think in terms of saved or not saved. Okay? Often we think very much black and white. I want you to see what happens here. Okay? Same thing happened in the story of the prodigal son, if you know it. Lord says what? What is the first thing he says about him? I have forgiven them. I'm not going to wipe them out for their sin, but they're not going to receive the promise. Okay? If you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son in the New Testament, we focus on the older brother's bad attitude, okay? Father still told him, everything I have is yours. You didn't leave, so the inheritance is still yours as the older son. The younger one's forgiven, but the younger one lost his inheritance is going to be dependent upon his older brother the rest of his life. We see that here. Church, we've got to stop thinking about only saved or not saved. Because sometimes they just survived, but they missed out on the promises of God because of their attitude, because they were not following him wholeheartedly. Church, I don't want to barely make it to heaven. I don't want you to barely make it to heaven. And there's plenty of people sitting in seats, if they truly follow Jesus, they may make it to heaven, but they may not have any rewards when they get there. The Bible's very clear that he will reward us for what we do here on this earth. How does it work? I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say much about it other than it's going to happen. Okay? And anything we're rewarded with, we get to lay at the feet of Jesus, because we still recognize that's the greatest gift we could have ever received, and it's all because of him. But we are going to work in heaven. I don't know what it all looks like, but we are going to work, and there's going to be greater responsibility given to those who've shown themselves faithful here. I don't want to just barely make it to heaven, church. And as your pastor, I don't want to just survive. I am not a status quo person, okay? I told you that when you guys interviewed me, whether you remember or not, okay? But I believe God always wants his people and his church to move forward. Now, that may not always be spectacular, okay? Often in our lives, it's very subtle growth, but there's a moving forward, okay? It's not always a mountaintop experience. It's not always like, woo, we're adding to our number every day. The offers are getting bigger every day. People are being saved every day. But there is a going forward with him. And we still see all of those things. The Israelites, God forgave them, but they lost their inheritance. And we often don't catch that in this story. We don't catch it in the prodigal son. Like, oh, everything's okay with the prodigal son. No, it's not okay. He's forgiven, he's in the family, and that is the most important thing. But he lost his entire inheritance, and he's dependent upon his older brother who still had his inheritance. And here we see a generation of people, some of you know the story, end up dying off that God forgave, but they died off because God could not have people go into the promised land that weren't ready to fight battles, because they believed the giants were bigger than the God they served. And so in order to receive, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. So in order to receive what's promised, church, the Israelites had to keep the faith. They had to continue to trust the Lord, and they did not. And for us as a church, it's important to go forward with him, okay? That doesn't mean we make things happen just to happen, but when God says go, we go. And so in large part, that's what I'm asking for us this year as we pray. I know these are big picture things. Be praying with us about these things. Be praying for the board and myself, right? Because we want to see God move Cornerstone Church forward in these things. But most of all, I want to be like a Joshua and Caleb says, you know what, Lord? Yeah, it looks risky. The walls are big, the giants are tall, but God, I believe you are bigger. All right? Because we don't go pick a battle to demonstrate faith. Right? The only battles we fight are the one the Lord leads us into. That's when we demonstrate faith. All right? So this is not doing stuff just to do stuff. And so, and I don't even speak this like there's huge obstacles in front of us. Sure, things are good here, okay? They're good. They're getting better. The only obstacles are, I've got some pretty big dreams, but I wanted to be God-given dreams, and I want God to put some dreams in your heart of what could happen here, okay? Because we don't need to mope around like the little sisters of the poor or whatever and think, oh, what happened? The glory days are over or anything. No, God always wants to move his people forward, right? And so let's reset our expectations about what he can do, about what he wants to do. And then as he leads us in particular direction, we'll be ready, okay? I just want us to be ready. I want us to follow wholeheartedly like this describes Caleb, okay? Let's have a different spirit about us as a church, all right? And when we use spirit language, that makes some of you nervous. We're not always talking about what you picture in your head, okay? But we want God to do whatever he wants, and we want to move with him, okay? When people see Cornerstone people and go, they've got a different spirit. Why? Because they're saved and they know it. There's a joy they have that nobody else has. There is a peace and a calmness, even in the midst of a global pandemic, that nobody else has. Okay? That's what I want them to see in this. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand. We're going to sing a new song called Faithful Now. song, I know, but as I looked at the words this morning, like, I really feel like the Lord was directing Jamie and the team to do this song. So I just want you at your seat. We'll come back and we'll close with communion in just a few minutes. If this song is a new song, read the words, learn this song. If you know it, sing it out in faith. But this song speaks very much to what I talked about. And I just want this to be a time where the Lord builds faith in us as a church. And maybe you're facing something as an individual or family. Let the Lord build faith in you that God can take care of you and come through for you. Okay? Let's just respond to the Lord as He leads this morning.